Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast by Focus on the Family Singapore. In each podcast, we'll be tackling questions that parents are asking about family life, parenting, work life, and so much more. So join us on this journey of discovery together.
Hello and welcome to the Parentnet podcast. My name is June and I'm your host for this episode. Today, we are exploring a topic that many parents in Singapore struggle with, the issue of comparison. Have you ever caught yourself comparing your child to someone else? Out of worry, perhaps, that your child might not be measuring up in certain areas? Or have you wondered if you're doing enough when you see other children excel in ways that your child doesn't? You are not alone. It's completely natural. We all want our children to thrive. But could comparing them do more harm than good? Joining me today to explore why comparison could be harmful and also some of its alternatives is Miss Pauline Fu, a teacher and mother of three boys. Welcome to the Parentnet podcast, Pauline. Thank you for joining us today. Could you share about yourself and your family?
Yeah, hi there. I'm Pauline, and I'm so excited to be here again. My family of five consists of my husband, myself, and our three boys. My eldest son is currently serving NS, and the two younger brothers are schooling, one in secondary school and one in JC.
To help us set the stage for today's discussion, I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about your personal stance towards comparison.
Okay, being a teacher myself, I'm always careful when it comes to comparing students. In the olden times, we used to rank the students, like class position, level position, and that exercise itself is a form of comparison. Hence, I'm very happy to say that we no longer do this. So currently, we assess the students individually, and we let the students know which area they are achieving adequately, which area they need to improve on, as well as the area they are excelling in. And this shift from comparing with your peers to comparing within yourself is indeed a very good move.
Yeah, I really appreciate this change. I can't recall exactly when it occurred, but I do remember being benchmarked against a class of 30 over students in my younger years, right? And how nerve-wracking it can sometimes be if you find yourself among the bottom few. So I do appreciate what you have just shared, and I think it is a good move as well. I'm just wondering if you personally have experienced some situations where you found yourself maybe subconsciously or unconsciously comparing your children.
It's kind of interesting because being a teacher professionally is actually very easy for me not to compare my students. But when it comes to me being the mother, it somehow is not as easy. I understand the risk of comparing my boys, but as their mother, I have definitely been comparing them on many occasions. If I recall, I guess the first time I start comparing was the moment my number two was born. Because I recall hubby and I were making statements like, oh, Gogo was heavier when he was born. Hey, look at Titi, he's actually longer. We measure babies when they are lying down. As they grow, we start to compare who started talking first, who slept through the night faster, who drank more milk at which stage. To me, these are all harmless comparison. But that kind of set the type of conversation I have with my husband, and it shaped the way we look at our boys. We don't look at them as one individual person. We always look at them as a pair of brothers. As they go to school, we compare almost everything. Pretty harmless, I would say. It's more just to like have a benchmark. You know, is Titi doing okay at that time? Last time Coco at this time was doing this. Is Titi also doing the same? Thankfully, number three was kind of spaced further apart from the two. So when number three came along, he was kind of spared from all these comparisons.
In a sense, when the ages are very close, sometimes it's easy to fall into this pattern, right? This habit of comparing the kid, whether it's when they were first born or when they first start to walk and talk, when they first get their first test papers back from school. Yeah, I can relate very much to what you shared because I also have three kids at home and their age very close together. I'm wondering, when you became more aware of this, as you said, this pattern of speaking with your hubby about the kids, how did you then work towards changing? Because as a teacher, you mentioned you became more aware, right? So is this something intentional you had to work on?
Yes, it's definitely intentional. It started when my boys started displaying certain behavior. And we were pretty glad that they did display those behavior, because that made us start thinking. One very clear sign, though, my number three was a little bit way apart from the other two brothers. You can see that he was very reluctant to take up music, any form of music lesson, be it piano, whatever. So we were wondering why, because from what I understand, he kind of loved music too. Then later on, I noticed that he intentionally chose things that the two brothers are not involved in. So after thinking through, I think he is trying to learn things that the two brothers are not learning, so that there's no way anybody can compare him with. That is a telltale sign that he is not happy. Maybe we didn't, in our very casual conversation, you know, we can say, wow, Gogo can play this, you know, music so nice and whatever. And he's probably afraid that he will not be as good as them. So he rather not try it. So I think, thankfully, he found his love in art and he started learning it. So having nobody to compare with, I think that helps him to enjoy the learning a lot more.
I think that's really an interesting phenomenon, right? Like, even the child is able to kind of communicate to you that I don't want to be compared. And therefore, I'll make choices that are very, very distinct from the older siblings.
Yep.
Yeah. As you were sharing, I also remembered, so I have two boys. As I mentioned, they are aged quite close, right? When one chose rugby and stuck with it and loved the sport, the other chose a completely different sport. I don't know whether it was intentional at the time because they were quite young, but come to think of it, sometimes it could be, right? Siblings try to distinguish themselves from each other, especially if the age gap is quite close.
The different boys, they have displayed that in different ways. I mean, like my second one. So what he did was, when he chose his secondary school, he actually purposely chose a school that he had the least number of people who knows him. So I was wondering why, and we talked to him, and he actually shared with me that in primary school, throughout his whole primary school life, teachers know him by, he's the brother of my eldest boy.
Right.
Yeah. So when he told me that, I was like, oh, it didn't occur to me till then. So when he went to this secondary school, he was very happy. He's able to kind of like have his own identity instead of being so-and-so's brother.
So hearing all these reflections from our children themselves actually helps us to be more aware.
Exactly.
Yeah, that they have an innate desire just to be seen as themselves, to be appreciated as themselves. Earlier you mentioned seeing the child for who he or she is, whether it's strengths in certain things or weaknesses in certain things. I'm wondering, why is it so easy for us to compare? Have you ever thought of why we tend to do this?
I feel most parents believe that without comparison, there's no motivation for the children to do better. So it's about setting a benchmark. Like I shared, my youngest and my second boy sharing with me how they felt. I mean, the negative impact on them of being compared. But if you ask me, my eldest seems to be spared from the comparison, because when he was born, it was just him and nobody else to compare with. But then again, he has his stress too, because he did ever share that he always have to be like the best in order to be the benchmark, you know, the standard, so that the two little brothers will follow. So I think it is kind of negative for everybody, whether you're the first born, middle child, or the youngest one. The impact may be different, but it's not so good. So for parents, I'm not so sure why we fall into that comparison, because I believe as parents, we also compare ourselves with other mothers. Yes, I'm just thankful my kids, I don't know, they have never voiced out like, so-and-so is a better mother than me, so I'm thankful for that. But I think as adult, we also do that. We might envy, you know, how come this mother, she can still dress up so well, she can still take care of the kids so well, you know, and things like, and look at me, you know, I'm struggling every day. You know? So when things like that happen, maybe we push the expectation to the kids, you know, like, I did so much for you, can you also rise up and so forth? And then we start to compare. Mm. And maybe sometimes we feel that comparing among brothers and sisters is okay, as long as we are not comparing you with other children. But I think the harm is the same.
Well said. And I'm thinking, like, with social media and all, it even makes it easier to fall into this comparison trap. Yeah. And perhaps it is not about feeling guilty whenever we do have this comparison going on in our family, or when we say something subconsciously to compare our children. So perhaps it's not about beating ourselves up, but just being able to catch what we have said and to acknowledge that, yeah, maybe this isn't so helpful, and we can try to appreciate each child for him or herself. What can we do apart from comparing?
Like what I shared earlier, we have to try to look at every child individually. It's not easy. I think it takes practice, because even for me as a teacher, you know, in my head, I'm always like, I wish so-and-so will be able to sit still like the peers, things like that. So it's very normal and natural. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to really try to look for the best in each of the child. Mm-hmm. So in my case, I try to look at the best of my three boys. I still can tell the difference between them, but I minimize the comparison, because actually I'm very fearful of one thing. If I compare too much, it will turn my boys into rivals instead of friends. In my family, we are not so good with words, but our love language is act of services. So we usually try to gather everybody to support each other in activities that they do. So like they all excel, or rather enjoy different activities. Simple activities, like let's say, for example, if one of them needs to report to school earlier for some rehearsal, you know, it's a family moment that everybody sacrifices a little, wakes up a little bit earlier to support the brother. Mm. And I think in ways where we show things like that, it teach the boys to actually embrace each other and support and celebrate each other's achievements and success instead of envying why he's always getting the attention from dad and mom. You know, how come we all have to wake up early because he has to go to school early? It doesn't concern me. I'm glad my boys don't do things like that. So I'm kind of cautioned in that. We usually have family dinner, then we'll talk about what are you doing, and then when they share whatever they are achieving or whatever they are progressing, whatever they are enjoying, then we will ask the other two to celebrate together with the brothers. So in a way, it's like one person's success, victory, is the whole family's success and victory.
Well, I really like what you shared. It feels like you are intentionally building this team spirit. We are one team. When one of us achieves something or is pursuing a particular interest, you know, let's support one another, and they can, I guess, rest assured that when it comes to their turn, they will also get the same form of love and support from the family. So I think that's a wonderful tradition in a sense, and a wonderful spirit that you are instilling in your boys. What are some things that we can actually say? I understand you said you practice more of the acts of service as a family, but perhaps is there one or two statements that we can use? So every time we catch ourselves comparing, like, oh, you know, you should be like big sister, or you should be like little brother in the sense, then we can actually try to redeem the situation by using some of these positive statements.
Okay, I feel, first of all, we have to change our mindset. Mm. Because sometimes we may think there is only one solution to a problem. When we try to change our mindset, and then we look at the child individually, then, for example, maybe my youngest being the very creative one, he may come up with a very creative solution. Instead of comparing, say things like, oh, if your brother is here, you know, this would have been solved much easier. Instead of saying things like that, try to look at his solution and look at the positive side of it. But it's very intentional, lah. So you have to say things like, oh, that's quite interesting. I never thought of, you know, we can solve this problem this way. Maybe we can give it a try. So it's like value the child, whatever the child has to gift for the family, we value it. We don't compare it and say that it's not the best solution or it's not the best contribution and things like that. So I feel that part is important, the way we share. So like you say, if you blurt out something wrong, then you will say, oh yeah, Gogo would have done it that way. But I look at your solution, it's kind of interesting. Maybe we can try it. I mean, that's the best I can do. Yeah. So when things really fail, actually, I have this own way. I will just tell my son, mom loves, and then they will reply, I love mom. It means they are still okay with me. So it's like our own lingo.
Thanks for sharing. That's so heartwarming. And I like what you said. It really begins with the mindset shift and how you see your child and being able to recognize that your child has something unique to offer. It may be different from the older siblings or younger siblings, but if I focus on what this child has to offer the family or the world or even for himself or herself in future, I can better appreciate what he or she is suggesting in this moment. Thanks for sharing those anecdotes and tips. I'm sure many of us hardworking parents have told ourselves to use some of these words of affirmation. Can you share a little bit on why it can be a bit challenging to put this into practice, just to help encourage our listeners out there who may be struggling to put this into their daily vocabulary?
Okay, I mean, we are all human. So just a word of encouragement to everyone who is listening, including myself. I think we don't be too hard on ourselves, because as parents, we are also learning to be better parents daily. And all we need to do is to be more mindful and reflect and make adjustments along the way, be it in our speech or in our actions. And I think one of the very important lessons I've learned being a mom is never compare myself to others. I may not be like the best mother if I compare to others, but to my boys, I'm the best mother that they can have, because I'm always doing my best for them. And when we can stop all this comparison, I think we will learn to enjoy the relationship better with our kids, and myself and the boys will definitely feel more treasured and being loved unconditionally.
Yeah, indeed. So even as we try to put some of these statements into practice, it helps when we ourselves reduce comparison with other people for ourselves first, and also practice having that compassionate view of ourselves. You know, we may not be the best or we may not be perfect, but we can learn every day and we can continue to love our children the best way we know how. And perhaps it's with that change, then we can really start to affirm our children and to appreciate the unique individuals that they are. So thank you, Pauline, for sharing your personal stories of the various challenges you have faced in practicing this reduced comparison, affirming your children for who they are and celebrating their uniqueness. I'm sure that every parent is on our own journeys. So really hope that the stories that you've shared can be an encouragement to parents listening in. Before we let you go, I was wondering if you could share what is one thing that you would tell our listeners today.
To all the daddies and mummies listening to this episode, just remember that no one on earth exists quite like you. And because you are you, you're unique and amazing. So I think we should learn to cherish the exclusivity of being us. And in our own unique way, we guide our children in a very unique way. And our child will learn to embrace their own uniqueness. So when our children start to receive more compassion from us instead of comparison, they will be encouraged and they will be able to live life their own way.
Compassion instead of comparison. Yes, I caught that. Yeah. Very well said. Thank you. To our listeners out there, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And do remember to share this with a friend who might benefit from it as well. For more parenting resources, remember to visit our website at family.org.sg. You can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter at family.org.sg/subscribe. So do keep tuning in to the Parenet podcast to learn and grow in your parenting journey.